One time we've all had the experience of being in a grocery store or a department store or with a mother, usually with a little child, who decides they want something. And all of a sudden they start to yell or they start to scream, and the mother tries to calm the child down and try to say, don't be quiet, take care, don't. The child just even more and more, the mother gets so angry that finally she grabs whatever the article it is and she thrusts it into the hands of the child. And the child ceases its clamoring. We get a sense of that persistence, even though it might not always be right. But we understand how even the judge, the unlawful judge, will want to quiet down the clamoring, wants to quiet down the attention that is being given to him. This is not a Jewish judge. In all probability, it's a Herodian judge or a Roman judge. The Jews usually had a three-judge court. This was a one-judge court. What makes it so interesting is during those times, the Herodian and oftentimes the Roman judge were corrupt. So here Jesus is making the statement of a corrupt judge. So those individuals within this community knows that this judge is corrupt. But there's the widow who is persistent and wants justice to be given to her. Justice. So the judge responds, not so much out of a motivation that he wants to be a just judge, but out of a motivation to quiet the woman because he's fearful as she raises her voices, something's going to happen to him. He's going to be hurt either physically by her or she's going to bring so much attention that others would do that. So he brings justice. Some will take a look at this and say, ah, is Jesus comparing that uncorrupt judge who is violating basically tenets of justice, comparing that to God? No. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. God as judge is always just. God as judge is always good. But Jesus is trying in an opposite manner to show if someone who is so unjust will do the just thing because of the persistence of someone, how much more will God, who is a just judge, respond to those who are calling out to him for his assistance and help? It's an affirmation of God as judge. It's an affirmation of his response to prayer. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this scripture, and that's what we're celebrating here on the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, an aspect of prayer. How do you pray? Is your prayer much like you were taught as a little child? Give me this, give me that. This is what I want, God. Is our prayer kind of bent upon fulfilling our own satisfactions, our own needs? Why do we pray? Well, I offer to you, prayer offers us an ability to enter into a relationship. Prayer gives us that sense that we're talking to another. Or listening to another. Why do we often enter into relationships? There's something that we admire about that other person, something we see that's important in the other person, and we want to share in that relationship. And how do? We want to explore that person. We want to explore that person, to know them, to know them. And so we, in a relationship, we say, tell me your story, and I will tell you my story. And together we begin to understand why these individuals are formed and fashioned in a particular way. It's a great thing. And relationships will then end up in friendships, and friendships are deep because we know the other person. We know why that person is responding in such a way. And then we know what sacrifices have been made in order for that person to be who they are. There's a depth that occurs to the relationship. It's true in our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is entering into that relationship and knowing our God in many different ways. We can never possess the total knowledge of God, for God is God, and we're not. It's creature to the Creator. But as we enter into a relationship, we see God's hand all around, don't we? And if we don't, we're missing something about growing in the relationship. Just this past week, I'll bet in everyone's life here, there was the hand of God that was a part of the actions of whatever we did, whatever we said, or whatever was said to us. We're not always attuned to it. We're not always listening to it. We're not always hearing it in that vein. And that's because we need to create that environment through which we listen to God's word as it's enacted in our everyday life. We need to create that environment. And Jesus is telling us that environment is pray always. Pray always. An aspect of perseverance is not necessarily a sense of perseverance just kind of demanding what we want, but perseverance and understanding this is a good that we desire for everyone. And I can tell you, I've heard over the past years in my priesthood, individuals coming and saying how they wish their children were attending church and committed to the faith more. We've heard that. I've heard individuals come and say, why did a disease inflict us, our family, at this time? Why? We're faithful. We pray. Why does good fortune happen to a neighbor who never seems to have any kind of sense or relationship with God, and all of a sudden, good fortune is passed over me? And now, most recently, is why, God, do you allow the strangeness of our society at this time? Why do you allow the controversies, the ad hominems? Where is the leadership given to this country, which we hope is a country of faith? Why? 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 Those are not new questions. They are the questions that are posed by the great saints. You think you got troubles in your family? Talk to Monica. St. Monica, whose son Augustine, boom. Pagan, denier of the faith. Monica, in prayer for 18 years, prayed for his conversion. You think at some time she said, God's got a deaf ear for me? She was consistent, knowing that God would respond the way God will respond. Now of that comes St. Augustine, one of the great pillars of Western civilization. Got problems with persistent children, children who want their ways. Take a look at Teresa of Lisieux, who wanted to go into religious life long before was able to. And then actually before the Pope, coming and arguing with the Pope that he should let her into a religious order, despite the fact that she was too young, and they had to carry her out of the papal chambers when she was there with her father. Persistence, knowing that God will respond in his way. And of course, the greatest one we have right away from the very beginning are the two thieves on the cross. And you have Dismas on one side, and you've got the bad thief on the other. The bad thief is demanding that Jesus take them all down from the cross, that he perform the miracle, that he release them. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He can do anything. But it's a good thief, Dismas, who said, "How dare you say that to the Son of God? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom this day. Remember me. Think of me. Have me in your mind." When we pray, how do we pray? Do we place our needs before our God with entrusting ourselves to what I would say the saints had as a characteristic, divine resignation? Now, resignation is kind of saying, "Oh, well, it's going to happen. This is going to happen. So we don't care. We can't do anything about it. That's it." Divine resignation is a resignation that turns oneself over to the will of God. It's God's will, and he will make it so. He will make it happen the way he sees fit. He will make it happen. Well, it's a favorite prayer that we will pray here, even at Mass, and we will pray, hopefully, many times during the week, is the Our Father. Why do you pray, "Thy will be done"? Do you mean it when you pray that? Your will, Lord, not mine. Oh, yes, these are the things I want. These are the things I'm asking for you. But your will, Lord, because I know and trust you know all things. You know what's best, not only for me, but for the entire world. And you know how you're going to use me as an instrument to accomplish that. And that's key in terms of our prayer. We turn ourselves over as an instrument for God's use. St. Joan of Arc said, "I've got about a year left." She knew she was going to die. She knew immediately her life would be taken. And so her prayer was, "Use me in the year as you see fit. Use me, Lord, to further whatever is your will." I stand here as an archbishop, and I can say very boldly to you that I'm empowered by the witness of the faith of those who persevere in their prayer. I am strengthened in my own spiritual life by the multitude of stories of individuals who are there before God with a sense of confidence in him, even though I see them going against the storm constantly. But they never give up, because it starts with a sense that they know God loves them and has called them into this life and has a life yet waiting for them. And it is their task to take whatever is placed before them and to live it in the name of the God of love that they know. The God of love who sent his Son into the world to give his life so that all might be saved. Persistence. Persistence. Persistence starts with understanding our relationship with God and creating the environment through which he may work to reveal his Son to all humankind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.